Let us pray. Amen. So this month is the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. On October 31st, what we would think of as Halloween, but for them would have been the eve of All Saints' Day. October 31st of 1517, Martin Luther delivered 95 theses, they're called, theological arguments, theological points, to the archbishop in the town, and legend says he also nailed a copy on the front door of the church in the middle of the town square. It was a theological attack that Martin Luther mounted against the practice of what were called indulgences. So indulgences were sort of credit for time served in purgatory. If you had more indulgences, you could get out of purgatory sooner and go to heaven. And what the priests of the day were doing were selling these indulgences. So in essence, Martin Luther was criticizing the corruption of the church, saying it could hand out grace of God and trying to profit by it, making money off of it. But here's the thing, everyone knew the clergy were corrupt, and the church was already working to try to solve the problem. If all Martin Luther had done was nail up these theses about how corrupt the clergy of his day was, no one would have ever noticed Martin Luther. But he did far more. His mind reached much further, asking, Sam talked about questions, asking deeper and deeper questions about Christianity. Not just should the church be selling God's grace, but was it the church's grace to control it all? How could the church claim to be control of God's grace? And how did they know that they were in control of God's grace? Never says that in the Bible. How did they know things that weren't in the Bible? Or could they know things about God and God's will apart from Scripture? And what is grace anyway, he asked? And where does it come from? And how do you get it? Or how can you earn it? Or how do you receive it? And if the church doesn't have the power to give out grace, and if the church can't tell you the truth different from what you can read in Scripture, just what is the church good for? What's the purpose of the community? And who ought to control it? And who's in charge here anyway? Luther's questions shook Christianity to its foundations. Now, I want to warn you in advance, I'm going to be talking about the Reformation some this month. I think it's an incredibly important moment in the history of our culture and in the history of the evolution of Christianity. This church, this congregation, only makes sense in the context of Reformation ways of thinking. But I don't want to give history lectures. I'm still going to try to give sermons, because reformations are always needed. We're always called to be reforming ourselves, reforming our world, as individuals, as followers of Jesus, and as a church devoted to bringing about God's heavenly reign. We are people of reform. We are people of reformation, and it helps to plug back into this powerful mind and these powerful ideas about just what reformation is. And I want to do it this morning just by walking through the scripture text, a good Martin Luther practice. Just look at the Bible and see what it says. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching. And they said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" And so begins sort of the final confrontation between Jesus and the temple authorities. The religious authorities are trying to test Jesus. In fact, they've laid a trap for him when they ask him, "By what authority are you doing these things?" That's a trap because you think about it. If Jesus says, "I'm doing these things on the authority of God," then they get to say, "Well, we're the priests. We're the authority of God. So into jail you go." And if Jesus says, I'm doing it on my own authority, they say, well, then you're a strange practitioner of a new religion. You're a heretic. Into jail you go. So Jesus is stuck in a corner. They've painted him in a corner. And he gets out of it by a kind of theology judo, by putting them in a trap of his devising. He says, I'll answer you this, but only if you answer me first. Did the baptism of John come from human authority, or did it come from God? And now they're stuck. Because if they say, well, it came from God, then Jesus will say, why didn't you listen to him? And if they say, well, it's human authority, the people will rise up because the people thought John was a prophet. So they realize they're painted into a corner, and this is all happening in public. It's a PR disaster. So they say, well, we are not going to answer you your question. And he says, well, then I'm not going to answer you yours either. Jesus is outsmarting them. And then he tells them a parable in which he ends up calling them hypocrites. We'll talk about that parable in a minute. But first, just notice what Jesus has done. Jesus has said that the religious authorities do not, in fact, have authority. I don't have to answer, because I don't have to answer to you. I'm not answerable to you, he says. I'm answerable to God. And you see this even more clearly when you take a step back and remember what's going on this time in Jesus' ministry. The day before he's entered into Jerusalem, the events of Palm Sunday. And so when they say to him, by what authority are you doing these things? What things do they mean? Well, they mean his whole ministry. They mean healing. They mean cleansing the sick. They mean teaching, new teachings about love and God's call for the coming of the kingdom. But in particular, they mean the day before when he had taken a cord and had used it to drive out money changers from the temple. Jesus threw out from the temple the people who wanted to profit from the devotion of others. He'd come in and he'd thrown out the income stream for the temple. And he denied the legitimacy of these so-called authorities that had allowed this money changer thing to take place and that had made money off of it. Just like Martin Luther nailing those theses to the door of the church, Jesus is performing an act of resistance, an act of reformation, an act of overturning the profitability of false authorities claimed in the name of God. And that remains the first lesson of Reformation for us, too. Sometimes the authorities of this present age need to be deauthorized. In our lives, sometimes we have to stand up to false authorities and say, no, I'm not going to do that. That young man in that photo, that famous photo in Tiananmen Square, standing in front of that tank, no. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to move. Or the sanctuary churches. I just heard about a new one on the radio today. Sanctuary churches, sanctuary cities that refuse to turn over human beings to authorities who are going to send them back to countries where they could suffer horrible oppression and torture. No, we're not going to do that. Or in our own lives even, the times we say to an exploitive boss or a friend who tells too many racist jokes, no, I'm not playing along. The politicians who want to cut taxes on wealthy people at the expense of health care for the poor, or better roads and infrastructure, or aid to victims of storms and hurricanes, no, we will not stand for that, no more. The first act of Reformation is to reclaim the truth of Jesus' teachings, that sometimes to say yes to life, we have to say no to the authorities of death. So that's the first lesson about authority. And then Jesus tells them this parable I mentioned. A man had two sons, and he went to the first son and he said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And that son said, I won't. But then he changes his mind and goes. And then the father went to the second son and said the same. And that son answered, "Oh yes, I go, sir." But he doesn't go. "Which of the two did the will of his father?" Jesus asks. And they, the temple authorities, said, "Well, of course, the first." This is where Jesus is calling these temple authorities, these religious leaders, hypocrites. There's two choices here. One says no, but does yes. One says yes, but does no. Which one does the will of the Father? Well, the one who does yes. The voice, Jesus is saying, when we say yes, we have to do it with our hearts, not just with our words, not just with surface appearance, but with life commitment. The forces of exploitation, they always say yes. They always say we know what's best. They always say they know about, what's needed, that they're on the right path, they're working hard. The church of Martin Luther's day knew that God was about love and said so. And then they charged you for the service. We look around. So many people say yes, but do no. They perform no in their lives. You know these people who tell you yes to your face and then give you no the first chance they get. Instead, Jesus teaches, say yes with your heart, not just your mouth. Say yes with your deeds, with your life in its substance, not just in its appearance. Say yes with your commitments. So much of the work of reforming is saying no to what needs to be refuted, the self-righteous, the power-hungry leaders, greed and self-service that sacrifices the needs of people. But the true authority comes when we can then say yes. The yes that affirms life. The yes that comes from God. Always remember when Jesus is teaching, when there's a parable, and in that parable there is a father, that's not just the male parent, that's Jesus' name for God. Some of us don't always feel comfortable with using only paternal images for God. Jesus did. Jesus called God Father. And so whenever a father shows up in a parable, a dad, a papa, a loving father, that's God. So Jesus is saying, don't give us a show like the corrupt religious authorities do by saying yes but doing no. Jesus says you have to live yes. That's what the Father, my Father, Jesus says, that's what God requires of us. And then finally, there's this piece. For John came to you in the way of righteousness. John the Baptist, he says, came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes, they believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds, and you did not believe. This is Jesus again repeating the exact thing we've been talking about for the last month, the importance of community. Because John came in the way of righteousness, but he had followers. That's why the Pharisees, why the temple priests can't go against John, can't speak badly of John, because he's still got followers. There's a community of the followers of John. There's a community of the followers of Jesus, and that's where they get authority and strength from. That's why the chief priests are afraid to answer Jesus' question. It's not about Jesus or about John the Baptist only. It's also because he had the strength of the community behind him, a community of the righteous, a community of people committed to walking on that way of righteousness that John walked on. Jesus' authority to stand up to false authorities was that community rooted in God's word and committed to God's loving justice. Martin Luther had the same advantage. He didn't succeed alone. He had students, he had followers, he had protectors. He had people who rallied around him and kept him safe. No one could have reformed the church alone. It takes a community of people on the way of righteousness. And look who's in it, tax collectors and prostitutes. in the terms of the day, the lowest of the low, the most suspect people, the people whose outer appearance is no, no, no in the eyes of the world, but who say yes in their walk, yes in their lives, yes in their hearts. It was they, Jesus said, who did the will of the Father. So the first lessons of the Reformation for us today are lessons about authority. Martin Luther was in a grand struggle about authority, as was Jesus. The need to say no to false authorities, and there are many. The need to say yes to the righteous authority of God's loving justice, and the need to form a community of yes and to find authority in that. We need Reformation today, to be sure. And Reformation after Reformation, we always have to be reforming. And the recipe for that is when we can stand up to false authorities with no, and then yes, and then community. Amen.